Music has always been an important companion for soldiers of war, and the invention of the MP3 player has made it easier for them to have and update their music libraries right at the front line. Deborah Dudgeon is the producer of the BBC documentary My War, My Playlist, and she's on the line. Deborah, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
As I said, the invention of the MP3 player must have transformed the way soldiers travel with their music to war.
Absolutely. The Afghan war started within about 2 weeks of the iPod being launched. And it really did transform everything. People had MP3 players before, sort of early versions. But, you know, now soldiers were able to go to war with their entire music library with them. And they could get some distance from their colleagues. You know, you're in the midst of battle. There's no privacy on a, you know, in the war zone. But you could put your headphones in and sort of escape a little bit to your own private world. So I think it's really radically changed warfare.
Would soldiers use music or put on headphones in the fire of battle, like tune out just to kind of, I don't know, maybe get them in the zone, may help them fight fear?
No, they all said universally that would be suicide, but they would certainly listen to music maybe on a long patrol. So they'd put headphones in. If you're on these fairly uncomfortable vehicles in searing heat, maybe go on quite a long journey, they'd listen to music then. And so sometimes people, you know, some of them more maverick characters would kind of wedge speakers into the dashboard and you know, have an argument about what they're going to listen to. And others would you know, put their own headphones in. And occasionally that went wrong. You know, they could be fired upon and they've got music playing.
Yeah. Is listening to music generally more of a communal experience or a very personal one, as you said, with just people putting in headphones and getting into their own world?
Well, it's both. It's really interesting how it's transformed both. I mean, with these little speakers you can get now, you know, they have dance. The soldiers, when they're off duty and, you know, in a forward operating base, they have dance-offs. You know, they do really stupid things like, you know, Scordy's Got Talent. And but the music really does bring them together for things like that. You know, you can only kind of visualize the scene, can't you? But equally, a lot of them, you know, there are times that things are really difficult. If they haven't actually lost someone, they might have very nearly, and they come back in and they're all a bit shaken and they want to retreat, and they you know, everyone I spoke to said that was the moment that they'd want to maybe go for a run around the camp or go to the gym, but always with their own headphones in, with their own stuff. So they and it's like an unwritten rule: you've got your headphones in, leave me alone.
And you know, the cliche or the stereotype of soldiers using kind of really loud, pump it up music, whether it's dance music or heavy metal or whatever. But I would imagine that with thousands of soldiers going out, that the range of musical tastes would be fairly different.
Yes, it is, but it's also really surprising. Some of the younger ones I spoke to, who you'd really think would have, you know, some of the kind of more modern stuff, they're listening to Johnny Cash, John Denver, that kind of thing. I mean, Johnny Cash was named by nearly everybody as something they listened to.
Really?
Yeah, extraordinary. You know, it seems to really chime with them. But dance music, equally, dance music seems to be very popular. There's something about dance music which someone in the program describes really well. It's the chaos of being on a dance floor, strobe lights going, really loud noise, which replicates the battlefield.
Well, I heard a bit of the documentary, and someone was talking about Josh Wink's Higher State of Consciousness as being exactly what you just described. And anybody who knows it will know exactly what I'm talking about. But it is kind of chaos in music.
Yes, and it almost sounds like there's helicopters in there. You know, some of it sounds like helicopters rotating. And the guy who talks about that, he's actually a war reporter. And so what was quite nice is that he's not a trained soldier, but he would be right at the front line. He got right up front to kind of ingratiate himself with them, to show them he could be just as brave as them. And he found that he would listen to Josh Wink's track before going out. He wouldn't listen to it on the battlefield, but he'd listen to it the night before in his hotel room and try and almost choreograph what he was going to do if he got shot at, which he did frequently. Dance music definitely is up there, because it seems to really chime with the experience of, you know, bullets crossing over, flying over your head, and the noise. And one of the guys was actually saying that he thought it would be a very good way of training soldiers if you took them to a very, very crowded nightclub and said to them, right, you've got to get across to the bar from here and get a bottle of water in 1 minute and all stay together and all communicate without talking.
Right.
And he thought that would be excellent training for the battlefield.
Is there... Do soldiers, do they go along with music trends? Like, so for instance, like whatever's the big hit of the current time will be the song that they're listening to a lot? Or do the kind of interest they have are determined by a whole different set of criteria, like their mood, the, you know, how they're, what's going on with them at that given time?
I think that might be an age thing. Some of the older guys, they would take out their own music, you know, before they went, and you know, they would listen to some of the younger guys' stuff, but not really want to. But the younger guys, their main concern was what they were missing out on, what was being released at home that they were missing. So if someone was sent home on R&R, they get sent home for 2 weeks leave in the middle of their tour. Their priority would be to download the latest tracks and get them back out to everyone. Equally, they have BFBS. The British Forces Broadcasting, who broadcast out there on radios, and they play the latest stuff, so they can keep up to date that way. But
well, I imagine now they can just download it directly.
Well, they can listen. They've got the internet, but downloading is really, really difficult because they have a lot of problem with the internet connection. But so people tend not to download as much, but when people are sent home, they are given strict instructions. But I gather in the First World War, it was exactly the same. You know, men, officers took gramophones to the trenches, and the younger guys were told to bring out, you know, the old shellac discs. And you can imagine trying to carry those out to a war zone.
Absolutely. Deborah, did you notice any change in the music that they were listening to when they were before they went out to Afghanistan and the music they listened to or enjoyed after they'd been in the front line for a while?
I think, again, this is a very personal thing. Some of them felt that there was, if a particular track reminded them of an event where perhaps they'd lost somebody, some of them found this extremely poignant. So if they were in the supermarket, they heard it playing, they would literally be stopped in their tracks.
Yeah.
And some of them said they couldn't listen to it anymore. They would switch off the radio. And there were others who said they were proud to listen to it, that nothing would stop them listening because it represented their dead colleague. It represented what they'd done for their country. It felt very patriotic about it. And even though it brought back very difficult emotions, it wouldn't stop them listening to it. I don't think they would change the genre that they were listening to. But I think certainly there's a big emotional effect of hearing that music that meant so much to you out in Afghanistan. And equally, it's the same thing the other way around. You know, for some of them, they like listening to love songs to remind them of the girlfriend.
Yeah, sure.
But some of them, they don't want to go too far down that road because it becomes too depressing. They've got 4 more months. You know, technology's moved on. They can speak. They can message each other online, etc. Some of them describe that as bittersweet. They found that...
Of course.
You know, that's great, that link, but in some ways it's easier to be further apart and make a clean break.
All right. The documentary is called My War, My Playlist. It's available on the BBC website. And as I said, I've heard a bit of it. It's absolutely brilliant. The producer, Deborah Dudgeon, thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after.